Hey, hey, and welcome to the Happiness 2.0 podcast, the show that explores the ideas and tools that anyone can use to live a happier and more peaceful life. I'm your host, Edward G. Dunn.
And I'm your co-host, Nick Whitaker.
Let's go do some happy. Welcome to the show. Today, our topic is The Lunatic Is in My Head. For those of you who are Pink Floyd fans or familiar with Pink Floyd, that may sound really familiar to you. But in actuality, what we're going to be talking about today is something that's common to the human condition and something that really is at the root of most, if not all, of our suffering and human suffering. And we're going to talk about how to overcome that and how to overcome the lunatic that's in our heads. And I am here today on this absolutely stunning Friday with my dear friend, my partner in podcasting mayhem, Nikolai. How are you today?
It's been a really good day for me today. As yeah. usual, I'm happy. And you know, I had this interesting event happen, and we talked a little bit about it.
Yeah.
The doctor told me some diagnosis that it, and results of labs that had happened.
Right.
And she looked at me. She goes, "Well, how do you do it?" And I said, "Well, I'm happy." And she said, "No, how do you do it?" I said, "Well, I'm happy."
Right. I think I answered that question.
And she said, "What was it? Do you think that's part of the program?" I said, "It's absolutely 100%
yes,
part of the program."
Yeah, you mentioned that she asked you, "Well, you know, how do you feel compared to before I gave you your new wonderful numbers?" And you said, "Well, just the same."
Right.
Yeah, that's foreign to most people.
It shocked her a little bit. And I said, yeah. "Look, you know, I'm going to be happy, whatever you tell me."
That's definitely foreign to most people.
But, you know, I'm excited about this lunatic thing. Maybe I can get out of my head now.
Yeah, yeah. There's a whole podcast on what you just said. I need to take some notes because there really is a whole podcast.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, it's something we talk about, how, you know, putting labels on things, you know, constantly we label is it's good or it's bad, rather than just sitting with things as they are. So, yeah, there's a whole other podcast there. Okay, so I want to start today's podcast with a story, something that happened to me, and I hope you guys find it interesting, and ultimately I hope you find it enlightening. So I was sitting alone on a bench in a swamp, literally, where we live in South Louisiana. There's a swamp or two around, and this happens to be a nature preserve that is just spectacular. And there's, you know, miles and miles and miles of trails through this hardwood cypress swamp. There's elevated walkways where you can literally walk over the swamp itself. It's just spectacular. And it's a phenomenal place to go and be with nature and spend time with yourself and meditate and walk and whatever else you may want to do. Great place for walking meditation. But at any rate, so this is the kind of place that you might see in a coffee table book about Louisiana. I mean, it's literally just that picturesque. And I know you've seen it, Nick. It's mm-hmm. it's beautiful. You know, it's got the, you know, it's the cypress trees and the Spanish moss and, you know, and the it's dark, it's mysterious, but it's just spectacular. So I was there.
You either expect a beautiful bird or a prisoner.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. In a movie.
Yeah, exactly. So I was sitting there, amidst all this natural beauty and the spell that this place can cast over you was just shattered when I heard this woman, and she was speaking very loudly, and she seemed to be quite close by, and I opened my eyes and, you know, popped out of meditation pretty abruptly and opened my eyes. And it sounded like she was having an argument with somebody is what it sounded like. You know, what I heard was, you know, no, it's all your fault. You did this to me. Well, do you blame me? Shut up. You know, I heard this kind of thing. And it went on for a while. And you know, I looked over and saw that she was sitting on a bench that was relatively near to me, and she was completely alone. And nor did she have any type of technology or, you know, earbud, anything like that. You know, my mind, coming out of the meditative state that I'd been in for a bit, just immediately shifted to pity, which is kind of an interesting thing. But, I think I reasoned that well, I know I reasoned at the time that she was either mentally ill or perhaps schizophrenic and off her meds. No, that's kind of where my head was at. And then, you know, pretty abruptly, she got up from the bench and she head towards the that pavilion that's there in the center of the park. And I thought, I don't know what I thought. I decided I was going to follow her. And maybe I was thinking that she might be in need of some sort of assistance, some kind of help. I really don't know what I thought I was going to do exactly. I only thought that perhaps I could help her in some way. I just didn't know what. It just didn't seem right to me to just leave her in this obviously scattered state. So I followed her across the, you know, the clearing, toward the pavilion and there's bathrooms there. And she disappears into the women's bathroom, but she is still the entire way the entire time she's walking, and I'm some distance behind her. I didn't want to freak her out any worse than she was already freaked out. So I kept my distance, but, you know, she went into the women's bathroom and I could very clearly hear her still having this argumentative conversation while she was in the bathroom. So, you know, a good few minutes of this passed, and I was just seated on one of the picnic tables under the pavilion. And so at that point, I decided that maybe the best thing that I could do was to notify a park employee. You know, they have the entry gates there at the park. And I thought, yeah, I can drive out and I can let one of those people know that there's a woman in the pavilion that maybe, you know, maybe she needs some help. Yeah, so I climbed, you know, so I went back to my car, climbed in my car, and I was thinking how grateful I was that I personally was and am of sound mind. I remember thinking I was super grateful that, you know, I don't have to wrestle with, you know, the demons of mental illness or insanity. And then came the inevitable stream of thought as soon as I got in the car. You know, my brain was, as our brains are wont to do, I remember thinking, oh, I'm so lucky that I had loving parents. I wonder if she was abused. Will the park employees, you know, if I notify them, are they going to make her situation worse than it already is? You know, where does she live? Is she homeless? You know, I was almost homeless once, but wait, that was my fault. Geez, I was such an idiot when I was young. You know, so all these things, you know, just start banging through my brain. And then I actually said to myself out loud, alone in my car, man, I hope I'm doing the right thing here. And I reached up to adjust the rearview mirror to back out of the parking space, and I caught a glimpse of myself. And right then, Nick, it hit me like a runaway locomotive. And here's what I realized. I was her. We are all her.
At some moments, I think we all are. You're always seeing people in your public places, whether it's grocery store, church, library, wherever it is, talking out loud to themselves, having conversations.
Right.
To discuss even groceries or a book or whatever it is.
Sure.
And sometimes you see them at a bar sitting there having a conversation with themselves.
Yeah.
But we all do it in our heads. Sometimes we don't say it out loud, but the lunatic is still talking.
Yeah, and that's the realization that just hit me full frontal.
Right.
You know, whether or not we choose to recognize it or admit it to ourselves, like you just said, don't most of us, probably all of us, exist in this exact same incomprehensible state? I mean, aren't we all just like her, mentally ill, schizophrenic, whatever you want to call it, because every last one of us is living with the incessant voice in our head. It's this constant, unceasing stream of narration, you know, whether it's berating us or someone else or second guessing a decision or criticizing or complaining or making one of 375 decisions a day. It is always freaking there. It is always with us. And the truth be told, if we had a friend, right, who was with us 24/7, 365, and did this, that said this kind of shit to us constantly and never shut up, how long could or would we tolerate it? And yet, this is our perpetual state of mind.
It is a challenge to my state of mind.
Right.
And it is a very difficult one to overcome. But there are some tools that we've talked about almost every podcast that help with this. And I know we're going to get to this, but you have to be able to realize first that you're doing it. This is happening. So how do you stay focused in who you are? Not this person that's telling you all these different things, but who you are. So that takes some practice to do that.
Well, yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Nick. It takes awareness.
Right.
And we have been living this way since we were wee tots. And it becomes our normal such that we don't, it happens largely outside of our awareness. We know it's happening. We're having the conversation. We're always having the conversation. But if somebody said to you, hey, I heard you talk to yourself nonstop. Is that true? Most people would say, hell no, that's not true. I don't talk to myself nonstop. What are you talking about? But get in your car and go drive down the street by yourself and pay attention to how many conversations you have in your head. Try to take a shower and see how many conversations you have right. in your head. So all of this leads us to a significant problem. And that problem is over a lifetime, we come to completely identify with this voice in our head. We falsely believe, simply because we don't know any better, simply because of ignorance, not because for any fault of our own, this becomes, we mistake this for who we are, for this is me. That voice in my head, that's me. But it's not me.
It is a confused you. It is a chemically enhanced sometimes you, chemically enhanced by narcotics supposed to help you. That's but in there somewhere yeah. is you. Yeah. And you have to focus in your own mind to find that you.
Yeah.
You really do. And when you do, you just simply have a tool, whether it was breathing, whether you pinched yourself, whatever it is, when you found that you in your meditation, do it. And then when you're having this lunatic going walking around everywhere, this is how I handle it. I snap my finger.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, for me, that's why I always have my mala beads on my right. wrist. So this identification, you know, you mentioned, you know, sometimes it can be induced by chemicals, by narcotics, by, you know, any number of substances. And that is true. And that can make it a lot more pronounced. That said, it is something that cold, stone, sober, church mouse sober people do 24/7 as well.
Agreed. I mean, yeah. No one is immune to this.
Yeah, no one.
And okay, the Dalai Lama even has to focus himself.
Absolutely.
And he's probably the best at doing that than anybody, but more practice than anybody for sure. But I think that everybody needs to realize that this is going on. And when you feel yourself acting scatterbrained, take a moment to relax and calm yourself.
Right. Yeah. You
the do. Lunatic will settle down.
Yeah, you need an anchor. And, you know, and we're doing a podcast about anchoring. And so we'll come back to that. But so here's what people tend to not understand, especially in Western cultures. We come to believe that what we experience as me, myself, is in our heads and behind our eyes. You know, that's where our experience seems to emanate from. Mm-hmm. Largely because our eyes are in our head. If our eyes were in our arm and our ears were on our arm, then that's what we think. But because our sensory apparatus is largely installed in our cranium, then we tend to come to believe that this voice in our head is who we are. But here's the trick. That voice in our head is not representative of our true selves. It is the awareness that voice is in our head. It is the space between what it says, rare as those spaces may be. It is the ability to understand that there's an incessant voice in our head that is not us. I am certainly not suggesting that everybody is schizophrenic, not in the clinical sense of the term. I am absolutely suggesting that everybody is schizophrenic in just about every other sense of the word, other than clinical, because it has been proven time and time and time again that when people begin and consistently adhere to a meditation practice, a mindfulness practice, both, either, then a mind trained in meditation is a mind that can quieten the lunatic for a time. And it is so, language is such an extraordinarily limited vehicle to try to explain to someone the level of peace and happiness that exists once we train ourselves to quieten the lunatic. Once, look, this is what meditation teaches us. It teaches us that from a very, very young age, we screw up and entangle our identities with things that are not us. When we're little kids, what's the first words we learn? My, me, mine. If you take a toddler's toy away from him, he schizes. Why does he do that? Well, he does that because his identity is entangled.
We trained him thing. To do that.
Correct. We absolutely.
There's a case study that just came out today on tying this baby's toys under certain newborns, mm-hmm. and having them to reach for it and moving it so mm-hmm. they couldn't. And what they were trying to identify is when conscious awareness of needing it
right.
happened.
Yeah.
So we are, and then they introduce other things
yeah.
to the mix. So there's three things now. Now we teach right. them to reach for all these things.
Right.
So it becomes scattered brain from get go.
Right. So if you take the toy away, they, you know, they go ballistic. But it's not because they place some extraordinarily high value on the toy. You know what? At that age, they'll lose interest in a minute or two. And then there's a box full of other toys.
Right.
So it's not the toy. So what is it? It's that even at that age, we begin to entangle things with our identity. Then when we get a little bit older and the incessant narration begins, the incessant banner, the lunatic in our head gets wound up and cranked up full tilt, then we further miscalculate and entangle our identity with that voice in our head. So now it's either our things, our stuff, our job, our status, our bank account, our whatever, our clothes, our car. We get all that screwed up thinking that's who we are. And then we come to believe that the voice in the head is also who we are. And neither one of those things are who we are. I is a process. It is not a thing. It is an ever-changing, constantly evolving, ongoing, lifelong process. We've talked about this before. You are not the same person. There's not a cell in your body that's the same as it was a year ago or even 2 weeks ago, nor do you believe the same things. So meditation is this phenomenal tool that's available to everyone that will allow you to tame and quieten the lunatic in your head, at least for a time. And as I mentioned earlier, begin to get glimpses of the spectacular, bottomless, den of joy that exists and peace of mind that exists when we learn that we are the consciousness that hears the voice in our head. We are not the voice.
Well said.
Yeah. So those of you who have not listened to our podcast on mindfulness, it's called The Truth About Mindfulness. You can certainly go back and listen to that. And we have a podcast on meditation as well. So go check those out if you'd like to explore what a meditative practice really looks like a little bit further. Of course, you can read about all of the stuff that Nick and I talk about on the blog at edwardgdunn.com. And I think Nick and I are going to wrap it up on this beautiful Friday and go and try to enjoy some of the fall weather. I hope that all of you will enjoy this change in seasons that we're all grateful enough to deal with as well. Everybody have a great week. Go do some happy.
Hey, hey, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. You can learn more about the Happiness 2.0 framework online at edwardgdunn.com. If you want to ask a question on a future episode of the podcast, drop your question or leave us a comment in the show notes. Love, love, love hearing from you guys. And I'll see you on the next episode. Go do some happy.